Hey there, this is Daniel Messer, the author of Intergalactic Librarian. I just wanted to give you a quick preface that we're kicking off episode one with part one, as it seems a good idea to start at the beginning. If you've already heard one on the other show, Cyberpunk Librarian, you might want to skip this, or hey, you can always enjoy it again. Either way, Intergalactic Librarian drop monthly as it takes a lot longer to produce than the other shows. That's not a bad thing, because believe me, this is a labor of love and I enjoy doing it. And I hope you enjoy listening to it. So that said, welcome to episode one of a podcast about high adventure in deep space with librarians. This is Intergalactic Librarian, The Adventures of Skylar and Jessica. Intergalactic Librarian, The Adventures of Skylar and Jessica, Part 1, Other Duties as Assigned. The monitor came to life, rousing itself out of the torpor of the inactical. I looked up, half interested in whatever might appear. Sure enough, another request for information. You know, you'd think that everyone would know how to use the Interstellar Directory by now. You can get anything on the ID, you just gotta know how to ask. I smiled my they-pay-me-to-do-this smile, and asked how I could help. Turns out, all they wanted was the coordinates for Beta Centauri. It took all of, what, 1 point to find? I'd normally reserve that kind of information over in some ready reference pile. But like using the ID, you'd think everyone would know how to get to Beta Centauri. Yes, yes, it is lovely. Big? Oh, yes, right. Uh-huh. Yes, variable stars are interesting. Can I help you find anything else? No? Okay, you take care now. Killing the link, I returned to my reading. Time plotted on and the screen blank again, kicked into its low power mode. Sometime later, the bell went off and the monitor popped into glow. Damn it, I thought, what now? Turning away from my work, I saw the small red lamp flashing away on the desk. An internal call, I said to myself in the semi-illuminated hallway that doubled it. I hadn't had one of those calls since, well, have I ever had those? I couldn't remember. Other branches rarely called this one because of its remoteness, orbiting some couple hundred million miles away from your average Clatom star, and floating about 20 light-years from anything interesting. Well, let's just say that this branch of the Galactic Public Library and Information Center wasn't on the road to anything even approaching interesting. That's why I was here. Speak power, and they transfer your ass out into the backwaters of the cosmos. I guess they figured me to be old-fashioned, and thus stuck me out in this equal old-fashioned recycled ship, serving as the head librarian to T-Space, and supervising an android pay, Jessica. They probably thought it fitting, dumping me out here with all the archaic items in the Gallic collections. My art that books should be preserved, even after computer conservation, fell up with fears of the right thing forward-moving directorate. So they gave me 2 days to either pack up and ship out, or a termination. Granted, my argument for preservation included referencing Direct's maternal lineage and their assumed perfection. So I packed up and moved out here where almost every shelf was built off-kilt idiot with his own three hands. I shut them up with various bits of faux wood laying around. That tin-tier curiosity filled with the historical epics of Loretha almost beat me underneath it when it fell over. Don't get me wrong, I love history. And the Loretha are a nifty species, what with their iridescent skin and piercing green eye stalks. I even dated one while attending the university and finishing up my brief science in intergalactic architecture. That doesn't mean I want to die underneath your hand-lettered genealogies. Straightening my eyes and punched the answer button. The monitor went full power, and my coordinator appeared on screen. Chancery within, baldly 60 standard years old. He wears suits that cost more than I made in 6 paychecks, and they still look like he slept in them after an all-bender. He's officious, bureaucratic, administrivial, and petty. Other than that, he's an okay guy. Skyler, said, sounding quite the muckety-muck. How are things? Decent, I said. I managed to shut Jessica off when she wasn't paying attention. It's been fairly quiet around here. Good, good. He didn't give the slightest bit of damn. Listen, I'm sending a supply ship early this time around. Bella's going to take some time off. Oh, mate's about ready to hatch that brood, huh? I said. Bella jipped the courier delivering the groceries and picking up the odd item I sent out of here from time to time. He's nice, and usually stays around for an hour or so, talking and drinking. He provided the distraction I needed to power switch without her noticing. Jessica found herself shipped out here to the periphery branch because something in her programming suppresses her ability to shut up. It got really bad there for a couple of days. Robots, after all, don't need to take a breath between sentences. She's a hard worker, and she got this place set up nicely as she scooted around on her monoball drive. She just never quits talking. Bellagen's mate, Namkala, had been ready to hatch her young for the last months. Apparently, halcyon gestational periods run for some time. Yes, Chauncery said, adjusting his tie. It didn't help. He's on his homeworld now, so we've got a temp make deliveries. A Mr. Johnson, said, checking a handheld out. I smiled inwardly that Captain Bureaucrat couldn't remember such a common human name. Sounds good, said. We expect him. A few standard hours from now, actually, so gather your shipment and happy. Shipment, I thought. Who's he kidding? One small crate of materials, one smaller crate of recyclables, and a talkative android. Except they'd never take the android. Oh well, can't for trying. I shot everything else into the star. Garbage disposal is even you have a nearby star and one working mass cannon. A little back and forth along with the ass-kissing portions befitting a middle management flake, I packed up the crates. I wondered. New guy. Temp worker. Maybe he'll take the fried android. I loaded Jessica into a low-grav cart and shuffled her off to the docking bay. A quick trip around the place and I had everything ready. I walked back to my desk and sat down, on the book to where I left off, and wait. Sometime later, the link fired up again and I pressed the answer button. A stout face flickered on the monitor. He looked like he'd been in a bar fighter and probably lost both of them. Regular spacer, I guess. I'll take whatever job you throw at them. Skyler Pedersen? Name's Johnson. I'm inbound with your supplies and need docking codes for the lock. Hey, Johnson. No worries, I'm trying to channel and have them in just a couple of seconds. My fingers tap a few keys, relaying the codes. Got it, Johnson said. I'll be docking in 5. Using my butt, I shoved the chair out from behind me and headed for the airlock. Halfway there, I heard something. I work in a mostly empty starship supervising a damn empty library. I know the sound of this ship. I should not have heard what sounded like magnetic tow cables slamming into the upper hull near the bridge. Raising it, I jogged over to the view screen mounted on the wall and called up the queue. Sure enough, a medium-sized freighter was moving into dock with 3 tow cables on its hard points. Son of a bitch, I snapped. The bastard's trying to lift the entire library. I sprinted back to my desk and yanked open the bottom drawer. I threw a couple files over my shoulder and grabbed the ion blaster I kept underneath it. It came as a surprise that the wrecked books are actually quite valuable in certain sectors of the galaxy. While they initially hesitated at fulfilling my request for Turbo Hambuster, they acquiesced when I explained that I'd have something to do on the target range downstairs. They hoped I'd shoot something valuable and they could fire me. I slammed a charger into it and ran back to the airlock just as the docking alarm went off. He was coming in. He didn't want a librarian tagging along for the ride. I crouched around the corner of the door, waiting. The alarm silenced and the airlock released the pressure, equalizing the instant of my ship and his. As the door opened, I saw the blaster rifle in his hand and raised my gun. He entered my ship as if he owned it, as he figured that a librarian would be easy to take, and that might provide me some surprise. Fine. I took aim and pulled the trigger. And the shot blasted right into the wall behind him. No one ever said I could shoot. He threw himself to the ground and brought his pull up, sending a round or two in my direction. Damn, I thought. So much for the couple I spent on the top. decided an expeditious retreat was in order and hightailed it back to the entrance to the stacks. I didn't want to put the books in jeopardy, but I figured I might be better than the shelf works. No one knew them better than I did, except probably Jessica. Jessica! Now there's an idea. Maybe I could spawn and have her create a diversion. If nothing else, she could talk him to death, and at best, he'd blast her. The pirate interrupted my brainstorm when an itself took out a chunk of the shelf to my left. I ran into the stacks and started weaving through the shelves. Occasionally, I'd fire a shot at him, but I'd stay moving. Now was not the time to stand. I moved into the port side exit out of the storage area and dashed back into the docking bay. Leaving the area, I heard the pirate cursing behind me, but I could tell he was having trouble finding his way through the shelving. Hopefully, it'd be at least a minute or so before he found the exit, and it'd take him another few seconds to realize where I'd gone. Grinding to a halt on the docking, I grabbed the cart I'd earlier and shoved it out of sight of the door. Ducking behind a few crates, I blindly fumbled around Hermit's back until I found the power switch. I flipped on, and that damned half-sing-song voice played out its normal routine.
Power on and loading. I am the Johar Enterprise's sorting, shelving, and inventory control android, Jessica version 6.2. Please wait while personality systems are put online.
Hey, what did you turn me off for, Skylar? Jessica, for one year existence, shut up. I hissed under my breath and clapped a hand over her vocal. Her automated eyes narrowed, fixing me in that little confused glare that she gets. I looked around the corner, but saw nothing. I thought I could hear footsteps in the gate, but it was hard to make them out over the ambient noise of a loading dock and a gregarious automaton still vocalizing underneath my hand. I turned back to Jessica and put my finger over my lips.
Jessica, listen to me, damn it. There's some guy on board. He's got tow cables latched onto the hull of the ship, and he's trying to either kill me or kidnap me. I don't know which, and I don't care, because neither of them sound particularly great.
By this time, I was sure I heard the sound of boots coming to the gangway outside the door. Wait a second, Skylar, Jessica said quietly for change. The shock of hearing her voice in a whisper made me whip my head back around to stare at her. She didn't seem to notice that, though. You're telling me that we have a pirate on board and he's trying to steal the books? The footstep louder now. My pulse raced and I felt my palms go sweat over the pistol's grip.
Yeah, judging by the sound, I'd say he's right out.
I was cut off by the crack of a blaster rifle and the smell of ozone as the bolt ripped through the air above me. I stuck my hand around the crates and blindly fired a couple. He sent another volley at me, and I hunkered down, taking it. Perf. I'd worked myself into a corner. I couldn't get out of here because all that lay in front of me were a couple of stacks of crates. He blocked the only door out of the docking bay. I checked the charge on my pistol and saw that I probably had another 15 shots left. Everything went quiet for a minute, and that's what stunned me. No gunfire, no blaster fire, and not out of Jessica. I turned to her with an idea for a diversion and found that she was there.
What the hell? Where did she go? That miserable little android. I'm about to get killed out here in the depths of space just because I was too dumb and stubborn to just let the pirate take them books, and my page does me just when I needed her to take a cut in the chest while I tried to kill the guy trying to kill me.
This was most definitely not in my job. I was ready to throw the pistol out and think about how I'd need to surrender, just before a blast wave shot over my head and the heat knocked me to the ground. Screw this, I thought. I'm not going down without a fight, and if he wants to haul out the big guns... I didn't even finish my thought when another wave threw me back against the crates. That's when I realized that the shots weren't coming from the direction of my attacker. I looked up from the ground and gaped at the army. Jessica tore out behind a stack of crates, not going around them, but through them, knocking them aside and throwing them all away. Her ball drive marked the floor as she rolled at him. Both of her hands held an ion ray gun, much like mine, but she was a far better shot than me. Her chest appeared open, and I thought she'd been hit until another heat blast flushed from within it.
My God, a cannon concealed in her little robotic bosom?
The pirate swore rifle throw another shot at the android, who deftly avoided it and returned fire. Blue flames spit from the barrels of her pistol raised straightway across the docking bay. I heard them smack into a wall, and the pirate let off a truly impressive profanity. Good, I smiled to myself, having just as much difficulty at this threat as I was, just a more personally dangerous level. I popped my head up crates and saw him stick his neck out just enough to get off a shot and jump behind the door again as Jessica unloaded a rapid-fire stream of ionized energy into the wall near his midsection. I had an idea.
I bolted from my spot and used the crate scattered by Jessica's rampage. Who knew a page could be so driven to vice? A couple of shots from the pirate went wide and singed my shoulder, but it missed Lesh altogether. I hopped, ran, and cussed my way from crate to crate, and finally succeeded in getting to a position on the side opposite my newly psychotic robo-page. Two more rounds from Jessica's chest cannon tore the frame of the door into a mixture of silvery shreds and molten metal. He stepped out again and took aim at Jessica. With all his concentration on the android, he never saw me. Sight in, breathe deeply, exhale slightly, and give that trick a gentle ease. He dropped hard, and Ray tore his legs out from underneath him. Jessica saw the shot hit and pulled over to him quicker than I could blink. He was still alive and reaching for a pistol at his side, but the sight of a sphere-drive feminine robot carrying two ray guns and hauling a cannon in her chest made him think twice about his plan. He slumped to the deck, banging his head against the floor repeatedly while complaining about how he got taken by a librarian. I grinned halfway and thought about dancing on his wounded legs when the communication link blared a call tone. I walked over to the unit on the wall and switched it on. The rippled orange face of a Tador wearing a Galactic Protectorate uniform on screen. "Hey, ma'am. Officer Rilgoth here. Got a distress call from someone named Jessica. She said you're having a problem?" I turned to look at my page, occasionally ratcheting the cannon in her chest when the pirate jerked in reaction to pain no doubt coursing through his mailed legs. "Well, we did, but my page has things pretty well covered." A few minutes later, I went aboard the pirate ship, backing it out of the dock, and figuring out how to release the tow cables he so rudely attached to my library. The Protectorate docked his ship and took our uninvited guest into custody. Redocking the pirate ship and boarding mine, I overrode the ship-ship connections, releasing it from my airlock and allowing the cop to latch on and take it into impound. Just as I finished punching the final sequence and wishing the tug well on his way, Jessica pulled up to me. I blinked in amazement as two compartments whirred open above her sphere and skillfully holstered both ray guns, the holsters closed with a hydraulic snap. "So, Jessica, sorry about, shutting you off," I said. "I was, well, I guess I was just a little annoyed by talking so much." "Really, Skylar? I was just friendly. You have to the last librarian working out here on the periphery was an automated model and boring as hell, but manufactured for conversational abilities." I walked and she rolled back into the book stacks, and she let out a small, electronic gasp at the mess pirate had made when he pursued me. "Sorry, Jessica," I said. "I'll help you clean it up." "Don't you dare," she cut me off, excitedly rocking back and forth on her ball. "You know how long it's been since I've actually had something to do? Something to put away?" "Something to shoot at?" I said, raising an eyebrow. "So quickly did they start outfitting page bots with heavy weapons?" "Oh, that new feature of the 6.2 Jessica models. It was a response to the book theft problem. With the black market demand on stolen books, Johar Enterprises decided to make the page androids with inventory control features. I'm one of the first Jessica models. They called the earlier models Jesse, Johar Enterprises sorting and shelving employees. Jesse looked a lot like me, except they had wheeled drives and they weren't armed. Oh, and they had male personalities and broader shoulders with brass highlights. Jessica," I said, cutting her off. "Yeah, Skylar?" "Shut up,"